Welcome to Uncle Bob's Magic Cabinet, a mother-daughter podcast about all things magic and mythology and pop culture. Sorry, you were taking a swig.
Swig of my Java.
You were mid swig.
Mig swig. Mig swig. I'm Mick Swiggins.
The new sandwich.
That's right.
At Mickey D's.
It's called coffee.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone.
What's happening?
What's happening? It's October.
It is.
Is this the first episode we had in October or no? I don't know.
But you know what day it is.
Who cares? It's
yes.
October.
I'm so excited.
I am so fucking excited. I love this month.
It's the best month.
Obviously.
It's the best month of all.
It is the best month of all. You know what? September is close behind.
Yeah.
September has crept up in my heart a little bit.
Not bad.
But yeah, we're here. Today's a special episode. We'll get to that in a minute.
Yes.
But first, let's address your outfit.
Oh my God. Yeah, go ahead.
You look beautiful.
Do I?
Yeah, but you keep getting so uncomfortable. She's in pink. You're looking pretty in pink. It is a little mauve.
It's mauvey.
It's mauvey?
Yeah.
Mauve.
You know, it's my fancy way of saying it. We've already established I'm trying to sound fancier.
You are a little bit.
Yeah.
Is it the Libra season? I don't know.
Mauve.
Uh-huh. I think you look great.
Do I?
Yeah, but it is very girly. A little more girly than you usually go.
I feel uncomfortable. Girly.
Yeah. But you know what? You're rocking it.
There you go.
I thought you would dress a little spooky. I thought you would get in theme, but you know what?
I'm harnessing my inner Stevie.
Okay. Yes.
Yes.
Okay,
I just need my Shaw. I'm not going to get that afterwards.
She goes with the Shaw.
The Shaw.
I'm wearing all black today.
Damn, I need to decorate my microphone. I need some spangles.
Have we talked about this before?
Yes.
I need to Steven Tyler my microphone.
Steven Tyler yours. I'll Stevie Nicks mine.
Steven Tyler microphone.
There you go.
Did you get that?
Yeah, I got
okay.
that.
I'm top. You know
Hello,
what?
Hello, Pauly Shore.
That was a 10 out of 10. I'm wearing all black.
Yeah.
Yeah, because today I'm in mourning.
Are you?
Yeah, because this is the last Halloween Town episode.
Oh, well that's why. That's why I'm in color.
Or
I'm celebrating.
Could you believe we're at the fourth? Like we've been doing this for 4 years.
I can't believe it. 4 long years of this nonsense.
Oh my God.
Oh my gosh. This has to be the worst yet. Otherwise there'd be another.
But you know what? To celebrate, I found this little what type of witch are you quiz on BuzzFeed. And you know what? I like to do these every now and then because they're so ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know what?
Let's do it.
Yeah. Because according to this, they're saying there's only 4 types of witches.
Mm.
And that's, you know, that's just it. You know, that's like saying there's only 4 types of chips. Or, you know what I mean?
4 types of candy.
And right.
I got you.
But I'm curious to see what
type of witch we are.
What would come up.
Right.
Because people ask us this question all the time. And since, you know, we're going to Halloween Town today, I thought, you know what? Let's get witchy.
Let's harness our inner witch.
Let's get witchy.
Okay, cool.
You have it pulled up too.
Yeah, I do.
All right. I will link this, you know, silly little quiz in our show notes if you want to do it too. The first question, what is your favorite color? Okay, and here's our choices. Soft pastel. I can't even say it.
Soft
pastel.
Well, it says, what is your favorite color? And then it gives you a plethora of colors. So that's incorrect.
Okay, you know what? I think you get the point. What kind of colors are you into, Laura? What's your
soft
palette?
Soft pastels? No.
No.
Although I'm wearing it today.
Except, Laura, to look at you, you wouldn't know it.
Right.
Dark colors, neutral colors, bright colors.
Mm-hmm.
You know I'm going dark. Who's surprised?
I'm going neutral.
What do you mean you're going neutral?
I like the earth tones.
You do like an earth tone.
Yeah.
Okay.
What is your favorite animal? My favorite animal is not on here.
Okay, Laura.
I'll take the woodsy animals.
They're a little too... I didn't read the options yet.
I'm jumping
ahead. The question
ahead.
Is, what is your favorite animal?
Mm-hmm.
Sea animals, woodsy animals, house pets, exotic animals.
Plural.
What'd you go? Woodsy. I'm going sea animals. That might surprise some people. I love...
You do.
Sea animals. Yeah. I love water. Yeah.
Otters, seals.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes,
I'm going woodsy.
Okay, yeah, cute.
Mm-hmm.
Next question. What is your favorite aesthetic? Visco/beachy. I don't
What's
even know what that means. I don't know.
I have no idea.
Grunge, sporty. Like, you know what? We're so sporty. Or academic. I'm going grunge, obviously.
None of the above.
Laura, you're kind of academic.
Okay. God dang it. I knew you were going to say that.
You were kind of academic. It's okay. Cute, though.
Is it?
I mean, like, is it bad to be smart?
No.
Put that on a shirt.
There you go.
Okay. Next question. Go to vacation spot. Mm-hmm. Cabin in the woods. Beach house. Somewhere in the jungle. Someplace a little more adventurous than the rest. Ooh, okay. Wow. I'm going cabin in the woods.
I'm going cabin in the woods. Okay. But not the horror film.
You know what? I would go there, especially around Halloween. Let's spice things up.
Yeah.
You know what? That sounds like the zest I need.
No.
Finally, what is your favorite holiday?
Ugh.
Valentine's Day, 4th of July.
4th of July. No.
We talked about this. Worst. If your favorite holiday is the 4th of July, please don't talk to me. St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah. Halloween is not an option.
Or Christmas. Halloween is not an option. So you know what? Yule is my next favorite. So I'm going to go Christmas.
I got to go St. Patty's Day.
Okay. Wow. What'd you get?
I am a green hedge witch.
Okay, there you go. Cute.
And that is correct. It says, digging your fingers into the soil to plant a new plant in your already cramped garden. Healing, being in nature, or messing around with herbs is your hobby.
Okay, yes, Laura. Okay, perfecto. So yours is kind of accurate. Yes. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, I am a moon/ceremony witch. Okay. Ooh. All right. Looking up at the night sky, burning incense, you believe in following cycles and going through routines with these different cycles. You know what? That's interesting.
That's true, though.
But I've really noticed that this year.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting, BuzzFeed.
I love it. Ooh, I'd see you as Moon Witch.
Do you?
Yes.
Oh, that's so interesting, because I don't know if I would ever call myself that. I'd probably label me eclectic.
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 Yeah. Maybe like a little spacey. So I guess...
Spacey.
Celestial.
Airheaded. Oh, you mean space like the planets. I thought you meant spacey like, you know, little out there.
You know what? That too. That
both.
Me in a nutshell.
They both work.
But you know what? Moon, you know what? I'll count that. I like that. Okay. Round of applause. You know what? I've learned so much today.
I
really want to know what the other options are.
Ooh.
Catch me later going through all of the different answers.
Well, tell us what your options were so we know.
I don't know, Laura.
I'm talking about the people out there. When take the test.
You know what? I'll put a thing on Spotify that you can enter what kind of witch you got, because you know what? It's just fun.
Yeah.
Have a little fun.
Why not?
Hey. Is it time to get into our episode?
I think
we
have
a lot to attend to, but first. I combined before and first.
You put them together.
But first, go check out our Patreon.
Yeah, do it.
We have a lot of new patrons to thank.
Oh, that's awesome.
We fell a little bit behind. And so if we already thanked you, you know what? Just take
a double header.
Yes, get a double header. Get a second. You know what? Yeah. Thank you. We have Emily.
Nice.
We have
welcome.
Maria.
My Maria.
We have Sydney. And we have Chloe. Welcome to the family.
Welcome.
I love that so much.
Thank
there's
you
a lot
so
of cool
much.
Stuff happening over on Patreon.
Oh my gosh, yes.
There's a really cool new feature that I'm excited to tell you about, and that is chats.
Ooh.
So we have like different chats on there. There's one for all patrons. So as soon as you sign up for any level of Patreon, you can access this chat, and everyone's just talking in there, and you can go back and see the whole chat. We also have a chat that is just memes. You're only allowed to post silly memes in there.
Ooh. Fun.
No words, just memes.
That
TM.
Sounds fun.
Just vibes. No words, just vibes.
Just vibes.
Fact check Jake will be in there.
Ooh.
We got him his own thing so that he can talk to everyone. And then like for the upper tiers, if you're in Full Moon Film Club, you get your own chat. And so it's really fun. It's a good way to connect with everyone.
Absolutely.
I feel like friendships are being formed in there.
I love that.
So fun. So go check it out.
We have such a great community over there.
We really do.
Yes.
It's like the best group of like weird, fun,
eclectic
kind
people.
Yes. It's just so fun.
Yeah.
I love it. So you know what? Go join the fun.
Yeah, do it.
And hey, we have to thank our sponsor today because
this
episode is sponsored.
So exciting.
By the Pittsburgh Moving Picture Fest, the Thriller Picture Show.
I'm so excited.
This is a cinematic celebration of the macabre, the bizarre, and the mysterious. This is this weekend. Okay. And we're going to be there. So go get your tickets. Okay. Yes. This exciting film festival is being held at the Lindsay Theater in Pittsburgh from October 7th through the 9th.
Nice.
More than 2 dozen curated films that are tearing up the festival circuit will be shown at the show. So support filmmakers, go support independent film, see some cool fucking movies, hang out with cool people.
Yes.
The Thriller Picture Show is also home to Romero Lives, a George A. Romero commemorative event presented in association with the George A. Romero Foundation, a.k.a. GARF.
GARF.
And you know
that
what?
We love it. Acronym.
You know what? It is a great acronym. And Jake did clarify that I was in fact correct. So I am scholarly.
Woohoo.
You know what? Get me.
Yeah.
What do scholars wear?
Glasses.
You already have some glasses.
Glasses.
You know what? Professor Plum is kind of who I picture as like the ultimate scholar. Is that fair to say?
Okay. Your bar is low.
You know, your bar is low. I like the purple.
There you go.
Don't miss out on this year's screenings of Day of the Dead from 1985 The Crazies from 1973, which is what Laura's going to be talking about today.
I'm so excited.
I'm really excited about this one because I've never seen the original.
Oh my goodness.
So we're going to be there on Sunday. And we'll probably be there for the crazy screening. So come hang out.
Come see us. Come chat with us.
Yeah. Come
on. I'm so excited.
This is going to be a really cool event. We will link the tickets in our show notes, or you can go to lindsaytheater.org, thelindsaytheater.org, Lindsay with an A.
I feel like I'm going to get my Miss Frizzle on.
What do you mean you're going to get your Miss Frizzle
on? I feel like dressing like Miss Frizzle to go to this event.
Oh my God. Okay.
I don't know.
Weird.
I know,
in
right?
In what way? Tell me how.
I don't
know. Get your Frizzle on.
To be determined. I am going to get my Frizzle on.
I love that for you.
May have
you
some are very astrological chopsticks coming out of my head.
Oh my gosh, Laura, you should be Miss Frizzle for Halloween.
Mm,
we
I
could
love
just
it.
Get you some like orange hairspray paint.
Oh yeah.
And it would kind of just be done.
Frizzlet.
Okay. Get your frizzle on.
You're gonna get my frizzle on.
Hey, go check out those tickets. We hope to see you there.
Yes.
All right.
I
have another update. I have a lot of updates today. Okay, we have to address the Hollywood strike.
Oh,
there is
yes.
a little bit of an update.
Yes.
So the writer's strike is over.
Done.
Okay, they came to a deal. It seems like everyone is happy or as happy as they can be.
Yes.
But the SAG-AFTRA strike is still going.
Still
now,
going
it
on.
It does seem, from what I can tell, like they are moving in a positive direction.
And
so
I
that's
love that.
Good. I will link, you know, if you want to read up on it.
Yeah.
But we are still obviously support the strike, and
of
we're going
course.
To be still catering our content. You know, we're going to be bringing in books and independent films
that
and stuff,
kind of stuff
like that. But we are going to be bringing in older films too, because from our understanding, that would be okay for us to do because we are critics.
We are critics.
We are critics, you know, as silly as we are. We
yes.
are kind of considered critics and like film reviewers. So
Ooh.
From our understanding, that would be okay. So like today, my topic, you know, that's why we're
Is
bringing
tradition
in. And especially with traditions we're
yeah.
going to stick, you know, we're not going to lose our traditions. So
Leanne wanted to see me suffer, really.
Oh, I was not letting you slide. Can you believe? Okay, so that's the strike update.
Mm-hmm.
Go read about that.
Yeah.
Okay, we will link stuff. But let's get to my topic, because this is the fourth year,
or
like the fourth time we're talking about Halloween Town.
The
and it has me a little emotional.
Are you feeling emotional?
A little bit, because so I always go back.
Yeah.
This is like
listen.
Kind of a touchstone. Tradition for me
yes.
for Uncle Bob's, because
okay.
it's October. It's
yeah.
this is always our first episode in October.
Yes.
Is Halloween Town.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been going back just to check, because the movies build on each other.
Right.
So I'm like, I better go back. And each episode was from like a very distinct time
yeah.
in our personal lives.
Okay.
So like the first one, I think we were just getting to Seattle. We had just moved to Seattle. And then the second one, we were kind of just like having a blast. And then last year, it was right after October was
mm-hmm.
born. And so they're like very
yeah.
special episodes, and they're fucking, they're like some of my favorite episodes.
Yeah. And then this year, I mean, hey, we've got all this cool stuff happening.
We've got all this cool stuff
and it's
happening.
Awesome.
So
yes.
I would say go and listen to the other episodes if you're new here. This is, we do have some like traditions here at Uncle Bob's. You
we
know
do.
What? Nick Cage November is coming
up.
That is my favorite tradition, but this is a close
that
second.
Is.
Okay. So catch up by listening to episodes 22, 71, and 119.
Do it.
Can you fucking believe that? Okay. I had a marathon.
Yeah.
I watched 1 and 2 and then 4, because as we learned last year, 3 was
trash.
You know what? You know what?
It was, this one's got to be trashier.
This one, Lore. Is I'm about to roast the fucking shit out of this. Look, I'm like sitting up in my chair. Okay, this is Return to Halloween Town.
Yikes.
2006. This is a Disney Channel original fantasy 2006. Movie.
2006. Holy.
Right? Wow. I wasn't even in high school yet.
Yikes.
My gosh. Written by Max Ensko, Annie DeYoung, and Juliette Giglio. Directed by David Jackson.
Okay.
Here's your tagline. Okay, unlock the ultimate secret this October. So obviously it premiered in October.
Right.
You know, it is a fucking disappointment. I remember being in 2006 and I saw what was happening with this film.
And you
I was like, what the fuck is
and
this?
You weren't there for it.
Now, let me just preface this.
Okay.
I am a huge Halloween Town fan. Like, I will ride for this fucking series.
Mm.
Oh my God. Mm. Especially one and two. Those are mm-hmm. some of my favorite. Like, as soon as there's a chill in the air, I want to hear that Halloween Town song.
I think it is generational. See the movie. I think it's your generation.
This is very much a mm-hmm. 90s kid thing.
Yeah.
Because this was like, this was still when like Disney Channel original movies were like really fucking big and you had to be home at a certain time
to catch
the movie. And like we always went and got our candy and then we would come and Halloween Town would be on or like the Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah.
And then you divvy out your candy.
Nice.
So it's just, I think for anyone my age, this is a big one. You hate it.
I always got the Mallow Cups.
You know, you're gross. No one wants your fucking Mallow Cups. You can have them. That is the grossest.
Wow. I'm going to tour the facility. It's here.
Okay, I know. You really should. We should be sponsored by them. Despite what I just said, love Mallow Cups.
I do love
so
a Mallow
much.
Cup.
Laura hates Halloween Town.
I do. It sucks.
Do you have anything to say about it before I... simply it sucks.
I'm suffering. I'm taking one for the team.
I'm suffering.
And not silently either. Not silently.
Okay, well, I think you'll like this one because I am going to roast this one pretty bad because this is the only film in the series to not feature Kimberly J. Brown as Marnie.
Oh, then I might like it.
Oh my God. Is she your problem?
I don't know.
You know what I love? Kimmy. Well, I love Kimmy J. Brown. Stop it. Sophie, played by Emily Roski, also does not appear. Her character is like mentioned, though. Here's your other cast.
Okay.
Debbie Reynolds is Agatha Cromwell, even though she's not like really in it. She's in it for like a second.
A cameo.
So you don't have Marnie. You don't have the real Marnie.
Wow.
Okay. Sarah Paxton from Aquamarine. Remember I did that a few of the mermaid? Mm-hmm. She's Marnie.
Ooh.
And she had to dye her hair brown to play more. I just don't understand.
So
first
they were
of
trying
all,
to pass her off as the original
they were
girl.
I hate more than anything
when they do that
in a series,
like a well-established character
like Marnie had been in three of the films. Mm-hmm. She was clearly Marnie. And then you bring in this girl and you're trying to just pass her off as Marnie.
Was she like, this
at
is shit
at that point?
She's like, I'm not on for four. The
no,
third was
she wanted to be. We'll get
Did
to that
she?
Later.
Okay.
We'll get to the drama.
Okay.
We'll get to
Ooh,
the tea.
Drama. All right.
But at that point, hey, movie makers everywhere. If just you get to a point in the series where you're having
up.
To like, you want to slip another actor into a well-established character role, stop making the film.
Yeah.
Stop making the film. It's done. It's dead. Leave it alone.
That's a dead horse.
Or just kill the character up. Get rid of the character.
Bring somebody else in.
And bring somebody else in because you crushed me. You crushed 90s kids everywhere when you did not bring Kimberly J. Brown back.
Oh, no.
And I'm still upset about it as a 30-year-old woman.
I can tell.
I will never fucking recover.
You're feeling very passionate about this.
You know what?
This.
I could barely watch this one.
I think you're...
I was so insulted.
Your voice is curling my eyelashes.
What do you mean?
It's just like... You're passionate.
I'm sorry.
You're
passionate. Are you feeling the heat?
I am feeling
you know
your
what?
Heat
I
over here. I feel like I'm getting a sunburn.
I have a responsibility. For everyone.
For Halloween Town fans everywhere.
You know what? Crushing. And some people say they like this one, and I think you have to be lying, because there is not much redeemable about this film.
Hey, you know.
Except that the cheese is high.
It's like The Godfather's. I might be one of the only ones that likes three.
You know what? I like three too. But
see?
That's a conversation for another
that's
day.
Another day.
But at least you didn't have someone else trying to play Michael at the last minute.
Right,
okay,
right.
That would have been just terrible.
Yeah.
Okay, here's your other cast. Judith Hogue as Gwen Cromwell Piper. Yes, she's still a wet blanket.
That's the mother.
She made
the comeback.
There's a scene at the beginning. I promised I wouldn't go on too many tangents, but I've already failed. There's a scene at the beginning where she's like totally trying to dress like witchy and like Stevie Nicks, and it's just not working. It's just not working.
I'm emulating her today.
Laura, I see that you've channeled Gwen Cromwell.
You called me her last week. Damn.
I did too. Wow. I did. You see? Know how I feel about Gwen. Joey Zimmerman as Dylan Piper, and he is wearing very thin glasses in this movie.
Oh no.
Very thin.
Is he trying to like get cool?
He's trying to like get his matrix on. I don't know. They're very thin. Lucas Grabeel as Ethan Dalloway. And at some point this character can be seen wearing a giant, perhaps glittery spider belt buckle.
A belt buckle.
Yikes. Christy Wu as Scarlet Sinister. Keone Young as Silas Sinister. Katie Cockrell as Sage Sinister.
Oh, the three witches, huh?
And Kelly Crockwell as Sapphire Sinister.
Crockwell.
Yes. Crockwell. Cockrell. If you say it five times,
it's a cock up. If you say it five times, you cock it up.
They're obviously sisters.
The three Stygian witches.
I kind of liked those characters. Okay. Then you have Millicent Martin as Professor Persimmon Periwinkle.
Oh my goodness.
Why is it giving me tongue twisters today?
That is.
When I can't Persimmon talk. Persimmon Periwinkle. Are you ready for the rundown?
That doesn't flow off the tongue.
Persimmon Periwinkle?
No.
Say it five times. Yeah,
five times.
Do it.
Persimmon Periwinkle, Persimmon Periwinkle, Persimmon Periwinkle, Persimmon Periwinkle, Persimmon Periwinkle.
Why did you get so intense at the end?
I had to get to the finish line.
I see that. Oh, fuck. Okay, ready for the rundown. Mm. All right, we opened 1 year after the last film, so I covered that in episode 119, yes. If you want a refresher. It opens with a slightly ominous reading from the Halloween Town prophecy.
Mm.
And it shall come to pass at the close of the first millennium, at the rise of the Halloween moon.
There will be no Kimmy J. Brown.
Hey, oh my God, I know. Devastating. A Cromwell of great power will embrace the gift. Mm. Marnie Piper, but not Marnie, is the Cromwell of the prophecy.
Right.
The one they've been waiting for. Mm-hmm. Duh. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now we cut to 18-year-old Marnie, even though this is not Marnie. I'm going to say that like 5,000 times.
Not her.
Not my Marnie. In the mortal world, being quirky and cute and magical. She's mm-hmm. like too cutesy. Mm. Oh, she's too cutesy. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's all I'm going to say.
Too sugary sweet.
Yes.
No.
Kimmy J. Brown was bringing flair. A little bit of the flair, a little sass. Bit of the sass.
Okay.
Her and Mama Gwen make a call via a pot of soup.
I'm there.
to Grandma.
Pot of soup. I'm already there.
That's how you would communicate.
I would.
They call Grandma Aggie. Okay.
So Aggie.
Who tells them she won't be able to chat with them for a bit because Sophie's interdimensional time travel training is just too wild.
Wow.
Okay.
And that's the last you see of her.
And that's your explanation for Sophie's departure. Yes. But Marnie doesn't give a shit about Gramps.
No.
Because she is too busy celebrating her acceptance to which university in Ooh. Halloween Town. Little on the nose, which university? Come on.
Mm-hmm.
And she got a full scholarship because she is Marnie Piper.
Of course.
Okay. Even though Wet Blanket Gwen wants her to stay in the mortal world for school, Marnie is ready to spread her magical wings and be out and open with her witchery.
Yeah. Well, then why wouldn't she want to be with Gramps? Gramps lives in Halloween Town.
Grams is traveling dimensions with Sophie Lore.
Oh.
So she's going to Halloween Town for college.
See,
would you pay attention?
You already lost me.
Lore just literally checks out when I'm describing these movies.
Yes.
Gwen gifts Marnie a personal witch's glass bracelet.
Okay.
That calls home, okay, before she leaves. And her brother Dylan goes with her. I know that won't be, you know, hello.
Hello.
They arrive in Halloween Town. And what the fuck is this?
Well, I have no idea.
Is Halloween Town. I say that in quotation marks.
Is the pumpkin
because
gone?
Because the pumpkin, oh, it's there. But it is not the pumpkin. It is not the pumpkin from the first film. That is a bright orange pumpkin. The pumpkin from the original film was like autumn orange.
Only you would recognize that detail.
I know other people.
You know what? That's a very Virgo quality.
I have no Virgo in my chart. You just leave my ass alone. I don't know what's happening. It's my child. Mm-mm. But no, other people notice. There
really?
Is a difference in oranges. That was not the same
Maybe
pumpkin.
They gave it like a zhuzh, a refresh.
The decorations, atrocious.
Ugh.
Fucking atrocious. They did redeem themselves slightly with the return of Benny, the skeleton cab driver.
Oh,
you
okay.
know,
uh-huh.
He arrives to take the kids to the university, but his voice is totally different. So not even he is the same.
Wow. And
is nothing sacred?
I don't know. Okay. Where's the goblin kid?
He left in movie two, Laura. Exactly.
Well,
the series made some mistakes.
He saw the writing on the wall. He's like, get me out of here.
The series had a little bit of trouble. Yeah. A little bit of bumps. Marnie and Dylan arrive at school and it looks like fucking Cinderella's castle. It does not look like something that would belong in Halloween Town, in my opinion. But you do get to see all of the fun Halloween Town students walking around. So there's a little bit of that, you know.
Okay.
Marnie sees some old friends, Ethan from the last film. This is Spider Belt Buckle.
Okay.
And develops an immediate rivalry. I'm just really having trouble today with the Sinister Sisters, Scarlet, Sapphire, and Sage. In my defense, there's a lot of like
Scarlet, Sapphire, and Sage. Yeah, there's a lot of
there's
like
there's a lot of tongue twisters.
Yes.
Their dad is a very rich and powerful warlock, so they of course rule the school.
Of course.
The Sinister Sisters rudely explain to Marnie that no one is allowed to use magic on university grounds except if you're them. And Marnie is crushed. Remember, she was wanting to spread her wings.
Spread those wings.
And
yeah.
Now she can't.
She cannot
but
do
she
it.
Realizes it's her own fault. You dumbass. You played yourself. Because when she permanently opened the portal between the worlds last year, Witch University opened up enrollment to non-witches. So now to level the academic playing field, there's no magic allowed. Her resident advisor slash new friend, Anissa the Genie, who is the first genie to be accepted to Witch University, helps Marnie feel more at home, as does Ethan, who is putting on the moves a little bit. Even though Marnie had a different boyfriend at the end.
Well.
And they were riding off.
That boyfriend went off with the real Marnie.
They did. You know what?
He
did.
That's what happened.
He did.
These are fake people.
This is fake Halloween Town.
Fake Halloween Town.
Marnie, Ethan, and the Sinister Sisters are all selected for a special opportunity in the castle's dungeon. Their task is to unearth the treasures of Halloween Town that are buried beneath the castle. And their mission will be led by Professor Ichabod Grog. Cute little nod. Icky explains that 1,000 years ago, Icky. The castle was built on the ruins of Marnie's ancestral home, Cromwell Castle.
Of course.
You know what? It's all about Marnie. So it's no surprise when a locked box labeled S. Cromwell magically makes its way from the hole over to Marnie.
Okay.
From the hole.
From the hole.
Here's my attempt at a super speed
round.
Who's
S. Cromwell?
I'm about to tell you.
Sarah.
You know what? Is that her name? I can't fucking remember her name. I tuned out after a minute. Professor Icky, the Sinister Fam, and some other teachers at the school are all part of a group called the Dominion. And they've been plotting this whole time, making sure Marnie got that box.
Okay.
Why? Why, you ask?
Because they want what's in it, man.
Yeah. Turns out the box contains a powerful gift that only a Cromwell can access.
Of course.
And the Dominion is trying to use Marnie to harness it and rule Halloween Town.
That's using magic on school grounds.
They don't. Okay. Marnie and Ethan get closer. There is a little broom ride scene where Jesse McCartney is playing.
Oh, my God.
Okay. You know what? And the Sinister Sisters use Dylan to help push Marnie to open the box. I believe he's turned into a dog at one point. This was just
shaggy
so bad. But Marnie goes back in time to meet Splendora Cromwell, not Sarah. Splendora.
Splendora. Splendora. Wow.
Splenda.
A.K.A. Sarah.
Splenda Cromwell. It is. It's the same actress.
A little sweetness in your
it's
coffee.
It's the same actress. Sarah Paxton is on her name. You know what?
I don't know.
She plays both and she is wearing a fucking atrocious wig. Oh, it is the worst.
You mean
I've
the girl that's
seen.
Playing Marnie is also playing
Splendora.
Splendiferous.
Yes.
Oh my.
And it looks like a fucking Ren Faire.
I wonder if she got double pay.
So she went back in time and she eventually learns the truth about everything. The box contains a magical amulet that has been passed down through the Cromwell family since the beginning of time.
Another amulet. Boy, those amulets.
Merlin is mentioned. Okay.
Wow.
The Cromwell who wears it is gifted or cursed with the power of absolute control. And so it must be hidden and protected at all costs. Splendora gives Marnie the key to her box. LOL.
Sounds dirty.
The key to my box. And the Dominion tries to get it. There's where
mine's
Dylan
rusted.
Is turned into. Did you just say
mine's
yours
rusted?
Is rusted. Your key was lost at sea long ago.
Don't
can you craft a new key?
In Davy Jones' lock.
I can't breathe.
Oh my God.
You're killing it, Lily. Dude, that one got tears.
Hilarious.
as she cries.
I know, right?
From sadness.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a big magical battle at the Halloween Town Millennium of celebration. Course. The Millennium! But our gang comes out victorious. Of course, Dominion is arrested for treason and locked in a witch's glass. Mm. And the Sinister Sisters lose their powers.
Damn.
Marnie and Ethan get all cuddly and cute. Matching belt buckles. And the amulet is left in Dylan's hands. He's not Marnie a dog anymore.
Marnie makes a belt buckle out of the amulet.
Can I craft you another belt buckle?
Can I craft you a belt buckle?
Oh, shit. Oh, no. Laura, you're getting me like really good at the end here. I don't know. The amulet goes somewhere. This is the last, movie in the series, so who fucking cares? That's the end.
That's the end. Thank the Lord. That's the best news I've heard all year.
They made so many cringy jokes. Here's really? Just a few random thoughts. It was so bad. It was kind of like a bad Lifetime movie. Mm. Or like, you know what I mean? Like those movies at Christmas you watch that are just like the Hallmark movies. Yeah. It just felt not... It wasn't right.
You know what? I was so depressed one Christmas. This was probably like 10 years ago. Okay. And that's what I did. I watched those movies.
You know what? Sometimes
they're terrible.
They're bad, but sometimes I do like one. There's good, bad Hallmark movies, and then there's just bad.
No, they're all bad. And what?
No joy
was brought to me. I felt more depressed after watching them.
This is what that felt like. Okay. At one point, Marnie says somebody needs more fiber in their diet. And is that like a stick up their ass joke?
Do you need a bran muffin?
Is that like you have a stick up your ass joke?
I don't know.
I like that one.
Stick up your ass.
Right? At one point, Belt Buckle Kid says to Marnie, healthy appetite. I like that in a girl.
Oh my God. Oh
my God. You sit your belt buckle wearing ass down.
Yes.
There were a lot of jokes like that. It was just like, what is this? Mm. And my last random note, Gwen appears in a washing machine at one point. There's like this whole side story of her in the mortal world becoming a real estate agent. I literally don't know.
Garbage.
It was so bad.
I mean, the other ones are garbage. This is really garbage.
So here's what I will say.
Okay.
Here's my final notes on the four.
Yeah.
One and two, fantastic. Nothing will ever beat one. The feeling that one gives, especially people my age, I'm sure, just nothing is ever going to beat it. It's like hocus pocus. Okay.
Yeah.
Two, fantastic.
Okay.
Love it.
All right.
Three, it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad, but you still have Marnie.
Okay.
You still have, it's still there a little bit. This, I never want to speak of it again.
Trash.
I never want to speak of it again.
It's lost
This is
me.
A fucking roast.
It's terrible.
Should I call this the roast of Return to Halloween Town?
I think you should.
I probably should.
You should.
You know what?
Do it. The roast.
Okay. What's my lesson though?
What is it?
I actually really like my lesson.
Not an amulet.
Which, oh no, I was like, I just talked about talismans.
Yeah.
Give me the talisman. I want to talk about witch's glass because they kept mentioning witch's glass.
Yeah.
And when I took to the keys, keyboards.
When you tapped the ivories.
Witch. Okay.
Tickled the ivories.
Witch's balls came up.
Mm.
And this is something that we've been wanting to talk. Like we've had this on our lesson list and we didn't know how to get to it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, you know what?
Yeah.
Let's fucking do it. So a witch ball is a hollow sphere of glass that is usually hung in windows to protect a witch's home.
Yeah.
So if you've been to a Renaissance festival, any Renaissance festival will do, there is usually a glass blower, and there are usually these
blowing
everywhere.
Some balls.
They're blowing some balls, Laura. You know what? I should take up blown glass. You know what? No, that sounds dangerous.
Gosh.
I would fucking.
That sounds dangerous. It does.
A double Aries placement in the big three. I should not be around fire. Beautiful blown glass, bright colors, patterns tied with a ribbon. Okay. They're like pretty orb looking things.
Yeah.
Okay. There are strands of glass on the inside of the ball forming like a web of sorts.
Yes.
Google it. I know you know what we're talking about. Many people have these in their home as pretty decorations because they are just like
they're
really fucking pretty.
Yeah.
Especially if you're into blown glass.
Mm-hmm.
But despite the name, some may not realize that these pretty balls, LOL, have some magical folklore behind find yes. them. Yay. I always wondered.
Oh, nice. Okay, I can't wait.
So they were originally hung near cottage windows or on cottage porches in 17th and 18th century England because Ooh. They were thought to capture and ward off evil energy, spirits, spells, and witches.
Ooh.
Ooh, which is what you always told me.
Uh-huh.
Because you've always had one in the house. And when I was little, I would always be like, what is that? And you always told me it trapped.
Right.
Uh-huh. So they started as just clear glass balls.
Yep.
But over time they got more like, you know, fancy.
Mm-hmm.
And they made their way to America and other parts of Europe by the 19th century.
Okay.
And it was during the Victorian era, of course, that they saw a shift from magical tool to decorative art piece. This Ooh. Is when people just started kind of using them.
I just want one.
Yeah.
It looks pretty.
And this is when they morphed into like garden decorations as well. Oh. So you'll see like, don't they make ones where you put water in them?
Well, they make them that they sit on like a stand, kind of that like a bird too. Bath.
Yeah, there's like some variations of it that kind of came from this time when people just wanted liked the look of them.
The gazing ball, I think they call it, right? In the garden?
Yeah. By the 1930s, they were all the rage.
Mm.
Okay, everyone wanted a ball.
If you didn't have one, you weren't nobody.
But they were like biggest decor.
Yeah.
So if you wanted a real witch's ball, like a magical witch's ball, you had to seek out a magic or spiritualist shop.
Ooh.
Ooh. Witch's balls are still made and used today everywhere, but definitely in England from what I can tell. And according to old folk tales, there are many uses for a witch's ball.
Mm.
I love this so much. Okay. In general, they are said to be a good protective tool
for
any witch.
Yeah.
These balls are sometimes referred to as watch balls too.
Ooh, okay. Watch balls.
You know, take a drink every time I say balls. You know, and I think I'm being like very mature.
Are you?
I think I've only laughed once or twice when I've said balls. There I go again.
See?
You know what? I think I'm handling it great.
You baby.
You know what? Yeah.
Child.
You silly child. Watch balls though, because they watch and protect your home.
Right.
Fun. Some tales say that ghosts and spirits would be attracted to the balls.
Mm.
I spoke too
soon.
You got
some nice balls.
Like your shiny bright balls.
There you go.
Because they're like, you know, shiny.
Big balls. Yeah.
And you've heard that, you know, spirits and ghosts like shiny things.
Yeah.
So when the spirit would get too close
or
touch the ball, it would get sucked inside and it would get caught in that web, doomed to be trapped forever.
There you go.
Ooh. So this protects the witch and their home from mischief and bad will.
Nice.
You know what? Who doesn't need that?
I have about 20 of them hanging around. No,
you really
do. I've had for like 20 years. Yeah.
The purple one. Yeah, I do love that one. I do want to note that the bad people at the end of this film were sucked into some kind of, you know, spherical witch's glass thing. So there's that kind of tie in there. Other legends say that evil will gather on the ball like dust.
Oh.
So then every day when you clean, you're wiping away the bad energy.
Oh,
I like that. Right?
Yeah.
Witch's balls could also be used for scrying. Which weirdly enough was my lesson for Halloween Town 2.
Yeah.
So go listen to that episode. Yeah. I loved that lesson. But yeah, you could use this for that.
Interesting.
Just a small refresher. You would use the ball as like a divination tool by gazing into it to seek knowledge. Which they're big on that in Halloween Town. Mm-hmm. I told you she was appearing in a pot of soup.
Yeah.
In a washing machine.
I think that
would be considered scrying. I don't know. It was just business.
They're taking it to a whole new level.
They really were.
Yeah.
Breaking a witch's ball is considered to be bad luck.
Oof.
If someone comes to your house and it like accidentally breaks your witch's ball. It
breaks your balls.
You know what? If they break your balls, run away.
I
would consider that kind of like the broom falling.
Yeah.
I would consider, you know, an accidental
Don't let them in your house.
Ball breaking to be a sign of no
breaker
thank you.
Of balls.
I really liked this. A little artsy superstition.
Mm.
Some glass studios will require a witch's ball to be the first item made in house so it can be hung up for protection and good fortune.
Oh, I love that.
I really like that.
Ooh, I like that.
If you're a kitchen or a hearth
witch.
Have we ever hearth?
We still haven't.
We don't know. If you're that kind of witch, don't be surprised. If you're drawn to these bad boys, I feel like they are always hanging in a kitchen window or like by a fireplace.
Yeah.
And I did see that they can be used near fireplaces for like, I don't know, to gather something. Like it was like as like a cleaning tool almost. Oh. But so some people back in the day would have them by fireplaces.
Okay.
But I feel like that kind of witch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Always has these. They're so beautiful. That's witch's balls.
Well, and then the light, if you hang them in the window and the light captures them, it's so pretty.
Yeah. I did like the idea of putting it on a porch though. That makes sense to me. Yeah.
I like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good idea.
You know what?
Ooh, that's fun.
Right? Get yourself a witch's ball.
Get yourself a witch's ball. Every good witch should have one.
You know what? TM.
Yes.
I really like that lesson.
I did too.
Would you like some fun and random facts about Halloween Town? There's not many.
Okay.
So it is unclear why Sarah Paxton replaced Kimberly J. Brown as Marnie in this film, especially because Brown has said that she was like available.
She's ready.
She has a TikTok account. You can go and follow her and she'll talk about Halloween Town sometimes. So she has talked about this and she said that she was like bummed. That she wasn't asked come back for this film. Yeah,
and no, like, nothing.
No, there's a bunch of, like, you know, urban legend-y type rumors. Like, she wanted too much money, but she said that someone said to her, like, oh, well, you were working on another project, and she wasn't. No. Yeah, so I don't know. It seemed kind of shady. Mm-hmm. And I don't like it.
A shady deal.
Millicent Martin. I didn't mention her character. Okay. That was a whole nother fucking sideline, you know, side plot. Okay. It just was not worth our time.
We didn't need to talk about it.
But
thank
she
goodness.
Was originally cast to replace Debbie Reynolds as Aggie Cromwell.
Okay.
Because of scheduling conflicts.
Okay.
Can you fucking imagine if you would have replaced
both
Aggie
of the main characters
and Marnie? Why?
And just left us with the mom?
Why?
That wet towel. A drippy
Did
rag.
Did you just call her
a wet towel?
Okay, wet towel was bad enough.
A drippy rag.
Drippy rag.
I just come up with my own words.
This is the roast of Gwen. Gwen Cromwell.
I mean, yeah.
Oh, she is the worst.
She's boring.
So when Reynolds' schedule cleared up and she was like, no, I'll come back for
the movie.
I'll
make a cameo.
Martin was given a different role. And so the whole thing is that she looks like Aggie and acts like Aggie. It was fucking stupid. I hated it.
Yikes.
Other witchy pop culture is mentioned throughout the film, such as I Dream of Jeannie and Bewitched.
Okay.
There's like a nose twitch.
Of course.
That's Halloween Town. What is it for? Return to Halloween Town.
Whoo! We're done with this.
No, we're
saga.
Not, because I have an announcement.
Oh my God, what?
We have definitely decided to keep this going every year, but we're going to flip it next year, and you have to start back at one. And Laura's going to cover Halloween Town 1 through 4. Every beginning of October. I can't wait. I think the people will really love
it. I veto that.
No.
You know, that's the problem being in a 3-person household.
Yeah.
I always get the veto.
Well, get it together.
Get on board. That's what you're saying.
Get it together.
Get on board.
I can't wait to hear you cover Halloween Town. To be honest with you, we can't let it go.
Oh my God, I've got an entire year to brace myself.
So while I am in mourning for the end of this cycle, it will renew again.
Oh my goodness. Hey, well, I'm not going to be kind.
You know what? That's okay.
I'm going to be like, this is trash.
Roast the shit out of
Absolute
it.
Absolute trash.
I just roasted the shit out of this one. I think I am going to have to call it a roast because I don't know if I was kind to it at all.
I don't think you were.
I did talk about balls.
You did. Shiny balls.
Shiny balls.
Breaking balls.
Balls.
Big balls. Balls. See? And now get it out. All
think,
those laughs you held in.
Do you think we'll get flagged for like the most time you can say balls in an episode?
I mean, we're talking about bouncy balls.
No, we weren't. David Bowie, where are you?
He's juggling
in
labyrinth.
We can't talk about balls.
Bulges. All right, so I'm up.
You know what? It's time to get serious.
It is time to get serious. Okay. I am talking about The Crazies today, as you mentioned.
Okay.
Which is a 1973 indie sci-fi horror film, also known as codename Trixie.
What do you mean?
That's the other name that it's known by.
The movie?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't
codename
know that.
Codename Trixie.
I did. Okay, wait. Codename. I didn't know movies like had codenames. Okay, fun. Trixie.
Yeah. So there is a tagline I included because just for you.
I love it.
Why are all the good people dying?
I saw that was the tagline when I looked up the poster.
This poster is so iconic. Mm-hmm. It's just like 70s.
That's a solid tagline.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I like it.
I'm
like
intrigued.
It. Written and directed by George A. Romero.
There he is. We love him.
Yes. Based on the script, The Mad People by Paul McCullough.
Okay.
filmed mostly in Evans City.
Yeah.
And Zeely and Opal, and like throughout the film. I mean, they are in Evans City.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. You can go to Evans City. It's a cool little town.
Yeah. And go to the cemetery, which of course gets the nod from Night of the Living Dead.
Hell yes.
Yeah. So the budget was $275,000, mm-hmm. which, I mean, you can't even buy a house for that price nowadays.
Yikes, and he okay. made a film. Way to bring the room down.
I know.
You know what? Yeah, that is kind of, that puts that into perspective.
That
yeah.
is a low budget.
Right.
It only did $143,000 at the box office. So it was a big box office flop.
So this is this considered like a cult
yeah,
film? Because so, did it come back?
It did come back. Okay. So George, I think there was an interview with him and he said it was probably due to like marketing and distribution. But the film has garnered a cult following since.
Got it. Okay, nice.
Okay. So here is your cast.
Okay.
Lena Carroll as Judy.
Did you say Lane or Wayne?
Lane.
Lane?
Lane Meyer. Will McMillan as David.
Okay.
Harold Wayne Jones as Clank. Yes, Clank. I did say that. Clank.
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 Like, who writes a script and says, I think I'll call this character Clank?
Doesn't George Romero have some funny, like, Blades? There's yes. some funny character yeah. names thrown in there.
I mean, there's humor all throughout his movies. Yeah. All right, we have Lloyd Holler as Colonel Peckham. Peckham, if you got him. I don't know.
Lore.
Dirty. Lynn Lowry as Kathy. Richard Liberty as Artie.
Artie.
Richard France as Dr. Watts. And Harry Spillman as Major Ryder.
Okay.
And then last but not least.
Last but not least,
we have Will Disney as Dr. Brookmeyer.
Okay.
I was like, I wonder if he's related to Walt, our good buddy Walt.
You know what? You've heard it here first. Laura's roasting Walt Disney in November. I am roasting
Walt Disney. So I looked him up on IMDb and today is his birthday. Happy birthday.
Who?
Will Disney. Dr. Brookmeyer.
Okay. Is he related to Walt?
He was born October 6th. He's not related to Walt.
Oh.
But
happy birthday.
And this is his only film.
Okay.
He lived in Pittsburgh.
Aww.
But it must be confusing because when you look up his picture, there's a headline beside it that says Disney buys 21st Century Fox. And then there's a picture of this dude.
So it is. Okay. Well, confusing. You know what? Let's give him his flowers.
Let's
do it. Happy birthday, Will.
Let's do it. Happy birthday, Will. All right. So here is your plot.
Ooh, are you ready? I'm so excited because I'm going to be honest here. Yeah. I have only seen the remake, which I love. I love the remake.
I do
but
too.
Somehow I've not, because I don't have this one on VHS.
Yeah.
And I usually watch my Romero's on VHS.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a snob.
We need this one. We need Martin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So here's your plot.
Okay.
Opens up to a picturesque farm as the sun is setting.
Mm.
Everything looks calm and serene.
Okay.
Peaceful, you might say.
Uh-oh. That, you know what? If my experience here on Earth has taught me anything, it won't be like that for long.
Short-lived. All right. So inside the house, there's a young girl getting ready for bed.
Okay.
And man, I just love the 70s aesthetic, like the home decor.
I do love the 70s aesthetic.
I mean, what would the 70s be without like paneling and shag carpeting?
You know what? The way to my heart, Laura. I love some paneling. You know I do. I would move into an old 1970s house and leave
and
it
you
like
would keep
just
the
oh my god.
Oh
and
my
the fucking
goodness.
Like the colors of the bathrooms.
Oh my gosh.
And the
yes.
fucking wallpaper. The I'm green. Here for all of it.
Well, you know what? Then this is just like
is
your
this made
dream.
For me? It, oh my god. Okay.
The decor is spot on.
Fuck yeah.
Even the pattern on this little girl's PJ is priceless.
Oh my gosh.
So she grabs a Dixie cup from the Dixie cup dispenser.
Oh my God.
This is like my time period.
I used to use this to brush my teeth. I used to use
exactly.
little Dixie cups.
She got a little swiggle of water
a
out of the faucet.
Swiggle
of water out of the faucet. Did they even still make those?
Dixie cups.
A Dixie cup dispenser and Dixie cups?
I don't know, but now I want to get some
it's
for
not
October.
Good for, it's not good for the environment.
Her teeth. Oh.
It's wasteful. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, wait
those
a
were, those were like huge in the 70s. Like
yeah.
we all had one of those in the bathroom.
Hilarious.
Yeah. So George Romero's ability to capture the details of his movies and the surroundings, he has this way of like immediately transporting you back to the era.
He does.
And it was probably like one of his friend's homes. He's probably like, hey, hello, I'm making a movie. Can I use your house? I mean,
it's
we
the
saw,
Pittsburgh way,
we
man.
Saw what the budget was. So,
like, right.
I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So like his friends and fam.
I know. He's like, that's
move
my,
over. I need to
my cousin Artie's house.
Right.
So move over. Can you get out for a while?
Right.
So We hear a giggle in the other room from her brother.
Okay.
And he's trying to have some fun and scare his little sister.
I was going to say, is it a gross? I don't like giggling.
And it's working. It was a weird giggle.
Yeah.
Little did they know shit was about to get real. Uh-oh. So we hear some smashing around.
Okay.
Right? Some sounds. And we cut to dear old dad, like, trashing the joint.
Okay.
The little boy says he smells kerosene. Yikes. Yeah. Remember those kerosene heaters? What a danger.
Yeah. What the fuck?
Yikes.
What a danger.
What a danger. Not good. So they're terrified.
Right.
The little girl runs to get her mom to help mm-hmm. and finds her dead in the bed with her throat slit. Talk about some childhood trauma right
Jeez,
there.
Jeez, you just took a turn. Dead Woo! In the bed with her throat slit.
Dead in the bed.
That was like a good rhyme though.
There it was. Yeah.
A little bit. Yeah.
So then we see the house go up in flames like a log on a fire, right?
Okay, you're so descriptive today.
I am, right? Okay. So like, what in the hell just happened?
I don't know.
It immediately gets the audience thinking, like, what's the backstory here?
Right.
Is this normal behavior from Pops? Is he a bit of a hothead?
Right.
Stay tuned.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, give it
so
to me.
We cut to this young couple, David and Judy, mm-hmm. getting all snuggly in bed.
Mm.
And also, although some of their conversations would not fly today,
oh boy.
It does give you a glimpse into the social climate of the day.
Got it.
So it seems Judy is pregnant.
Okay.
And at one point she tells David that if something happened to the baby, he wouldn't marry her.
Oh, yikes. Okay, yikes.
But he replies that
hey,
I'm...
Jude.
I know. Jude, get it together.
Get it together, Jude.
This is 2000s. In the 70s, that would have probably Judy. Been totally... Yeah. So he replies, I'm marrying you, not the baby. LOL.
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 He said LOL.
No, he just added in a little giggle.
You're right.
So we hear a fire siren off in the distance.
Okay.
We can probably all imagine where that's coming from, right?
Right.
Firefighter David...
Firefighter David
is off to help put out the fire at Mitchell's farm.
That's his job.
That's yeah. right. And Nurse Judy, she's off to Dr. Brookmeyer's office to attend to the two children that were brought in barely alive from birth.
Okay. Yikes.
Yikes. When Judy arrives, though, it's utter chaos.
Oh, no. It's anarchy.
It is anarchy. It seems a military faction led by Major Ryder,
uh-huh.
who is trying to smoke a cigarette through his gas mask.
Probably.
That's another thing I've noticed in movies of this time period, and definitely true in Romero films. Everyone is chief in the smokes, man.
Everyone's chief.
It's like, you know, chain smoking.
Right.
Yeah, I wonder if, I mean, he could have got backing from a cigarette company, maybe.
Maybe he did.
Maybe he did. It was just like not strange at that time period to see someone like smoking a cigarette and like performing major surgery.
You know, yikes.
With an ash, serving your food in
even
the restaurant.
In the 90s, I remember going to restaurants and people smoking in restaurants. Yeah.
And now that's like so weird to think of.
Yeah.
It's not cute. No, I mean, but it's interesting just to see a couple generations, you know? Anyway, I digress. Anyway, they have set up camp at the doc's office and they're all running around in these white hazmat suits, which is very iconic for the film.
You said it before. I don't like a hazmat suit.
I don't either.
Immediately. No,
it's a little jarring.
This, you know what? This trope freaks me out a little bit.
Yeah,
I don't
talk
like
about
it.
That.
If I see a hazmat suit, I get really uncomfortable.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Cause it's very jarring to say the least. You know what's more jarring?
What?
Is the gigantic radio equipment.
Oh my God.
That is like front and center, like in the doctor's office.
Right.
It's like a character in and of itself.
Oh my God.
It's very commanding. Then there's the rotary phones. Oh my, I mean, just
I did like
I mean,
rotary
I could
phones.
Go on and on.
Yeah.
The rotary phone.
I did. You know what? It gave some spice to the phone call experience.
The olive green ones. So from here on out, the tone of the movie is frenzied.
Okay.
Okay. And as a viewer, it's very palpable.
Yeah.
So like, this is not a horror in the way like a supernatural being rises from his watery grave to avenge campers by slashing them all up. Right?
Right.
So although there are a few scary bits in the film, the real horror is that this is a possible scenario.
And like paranoia.
It's
and
a nail biter.
No, right,
it's like
right.
a psychological thriller.
Yeah.
You
and
know,
sometimes
a horror.
Those are the scariest.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So David and his fellow Vietnam vet firefighter and all around buddy Clank.
Clank. I knew it was going to be Clank without introduction.
Have arrived to help put out the fire.
Yes. Clank is here. Have no fear.
Right?
Clank is here.
Now the sheriff, he's smoking a cigarette against the backdrop of the blaze. It's priceless.
Like y'all.
And he might be my favorite character.
Read the room.
He might be my favorite character in this entire movie. And it's another gift that George Romero has is in his casting.
Yeah.
He takes like little known actors who just seem like normal folks.
Like, you know, right.
Like I was out mowing my lawn and George came and asked me to be in his movie.
Again, the Pittsburgh way. It's like so Pittsburgh.
But it's like their conversations are so authentic
right.
and like real. You know what I
right.
mean? And
yeah.
representative of the time period.
Sure.
So, but this character like steals the show. He's only in it for a brief few minutes.
Yeah.
But one of the other firefighters asked him like, what's going on? And he says, what do you think, you lunkhead?
Oh.
A fire. Get the lead out of your ass and go do something to help.
Damn.
While chiefing the SIG, right? I know. Let me throw this on the fire.
You fucker. I like that energy.
I know. This guy was pretty
was
cool.
it me?
It could have been. It could yeah. have been. Back at the doctor's office, we are finally going to figure out what the heck is happening.
Okay.
All right. The doc and Judy are administering shots to the hazmat dudes.
Mm, okay.
It's not a cure.
Okay.
But it will offer some resistance to the virus.
There it is.
What virus, you ask?
I don't know.
Well, it seems that a few days earlier, an army plane, which was carrying the highly contagious virus, codenamed Trixie, to be used as a bioweapon, crashed in the small town.
Don't like it.
Contaminating the water supply.
Don't like it.
The fish are going belly up, so it's not a good sign.
Right.
The virus causes people to just up and die, or worse, become completely crazy.
Yeah, so they get, in the remake, at least, they get, like, really violent.
Yeah.
It's just, like, a violent
yeah.
thing.
So, crazy.
Right.
Insane, you might say.
Okay.
Hysterical, yes.
Yes.
Homicidal, good possibility.
Okay, yeah.
Right?
Okay.
So, I know what you're thinking, Lee.
What am I thinking?
Just give them all the shot.
Okay.
It'll be fine,
give
right?
Give them all a shot.
Sad to report,
oh, no.
there are not enough
Classic.
Shots for the citizens.
Classic.
Provisions are on the way. We'll get back to you.
Right, right.
But in the meantime, the doctor's office is not going to be big enough to hold all of these infected people.
We'll never be big enough.
Sabob and Huffy. They're going to quarantine them.
Okay.
In the high school gym. It's always, you know, you know, the high school gyms always are a locale.
You know, I mean, it makes sense.
Right.
Logically, Lore, right. it does make sense.
It can hold a lot of people.
Right.
The town is now under martial law, which means when the government supersedes
right.
the local laws.
Don't like it.
No. Dr. Brookmeyer is worried for Judy and the exposure to the baby.
Jude.
He gives her a handful of vaccines.
Okay.
Tells her to scram and to steer clear of people.
Jude, get out of here.
Judy makes a break for it.
Run, catching, Judy, run.
Run, Judy.
Run. Judy, run.
Judy, run. Judy makes a break for it, catching up with David and Clank.
Okay, Clank.
Yeah, Clank. He's back at it.
There he is again.
The hazmats, very disturbing, start rounding up everyone. Like, they even broke up a groovy dance party.
Not a groovy dance party. It's the 70s.
There's always a groovy dance party.
Where the Bee Gees playing?
Totally harshing the vibe.
You know,
I mean, they're in there like,
you
oh,
can't
the dancing
harsh the
was
Bee
good.
Gees vibe.
Yeah, and then they started like just yanking the locals right out of the
talk. Can you imagine just like jamming to Jive Talking and then a fucking gang of hazmat wearing suit people just
come and yank you out.
In? No, thank you.
No, Ron would be like, no, wait. Yeah. Anyway, they're yanking the locals out of their beds.
Right.
Leading one to wonder, who are the crazy?
Who are the crazy?
Who are the crazies?
Right.
The townspeople or the government?
I can answer that.
I can too.
I can answer that for you.
I can answer that for you. Speaking of the government,
mm-hmm.
the higher ups have deployed Colonel Peckham and Dr. Watts.
This Peckham episode is really testing
Peckham if you got him.
Our childlike behavior.
I know, right? Yeah, Dr. Peckham. No, Colonel Peckham and Dr. Watts.
The Colonel makes it worse.
Colonel Peckham. I would love to be the person. I mean, like, just sitting there writing the script. Yeah, Peckham.
Peckham, definitely.
Yeah, that's, right.
That's it.
That's what we're going with. Anyway, Colonel Peckham and Dr. Watts, who worked on the creation of the virus, they're sending them to the town.
Okay.
One, to help contain it, and mm-hmm. two, to look for a cure.
Okay.
Which Dr. Watts claims there isn't any.
Uh-oh.
In which case, the higher-ups are prepared to drop a nuclear bomb on the town to take care of this problem.
Great.
All right.
Fantastic.
David, Judy, and Clank link up with Artie and his teenage daughter, Kathy.
Okay.
Who looks to be about, she looks to be about 30.
Oh, roasted.
And they're making a plan to get the heck out of town.
Right, right.
So they play cat and mouse with the soldiers, including a chase scene with some banjo music in the background.
Some banjo music.
We went from dance party.
You went from 70s disco party.
I know. I heard that and I was like,
ding, 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 ding. That was a sick.
That was a sick. I slap it. I'm going to West Virginia.
I do a sick banjo.
You do. Wow. My gosh. Okay. There you go. So at one point, the group ascertains info about the virus from a soldier.
Okay.
Kathy is the first to show signs of being infected.
Uh-oh.
And her papa is not far behind.
Papa, can you hear me?
Spoiler alert, there is a disturbing scene as the two descend into madness.
Okay.
That Papa and daughter attempt a sexual union.
Nope, don't like that. Do not like that.
No. Clank intercepts, of course.
Clank of all people.
Clank. I'm here to the rescue. Riddled with guilt, Artie hangs himself.
Okay.
While Kathy goes outside to chase some sheep.
to chase some sheep. Where did the sheep come from?
They were just like running in the field.
Okay, you know what it is, PA. Yeah.
And she's quickly shot down by the military.
Okay.
It's kind of a subtle death scene. She's out there playing with the sheep.
Oh.
And they shoot her and she's like, oh. And then it just falls down. And she's dead.
Rest in peace, Kath.
Kathy, bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Kath.
R.I.P.
Okay.
Clank.
Oh, no.
Unfortunately, is the next to have his cheese start sliding off the cracker.
Sad.
Knowing he doesn't have much time, he gives David and Judy a chance to escape while he fends off the hazmats.
Okay.
Spoiler alert.
No.
Poor Clank. He doesn't make it.
Goodbye, Clank. So long.
R.I.P. Although David and Judy have escaped for the moment.
Oh.
Poor Judy. Showing signs of being infected.
Oh, no.
Spoiler alert.
She's infected.
Her and the baby don't make it.
Oh my gosh. Okay, that's sad.
I know. It was very sad. David surrenders to the military, realizing that he is immune to the virus.
How's it? What?
He says nothing.
He said, what do you mean?
He's like,
oh, he doesn't tell them.
He's like keeping it to himself.
Oh, nice.
Is there a spinoff? Is there a second one? No.
Oh, is that the end?
No, it's not. Back at the gym. Back at the gym.
Okay.
Dr. Watts may be onto a cure.
Okay.
But sadly, he is trampled to death by the crazies.
Oh my God.
Before he can get the sample to Colonel Peckham.
Okay, Colonel Peckham.
Which were, of course, you know, the samples were destroyed in the stampede as well.
Sure, of course.
So we're back at ground zero.
Naturally.
It seems there is not much hope for Evan City.
Oh no.
And Colonel Peckham is ordered to relocate to Kentucky.
Okay.
Where people have begun showing signs of the virus.
Okay, yikes.
It's spreading. Cleared to be virus free, the colonel strips down in his birthday suit before being whisked away on a helicopter. Not really.
And it's Colonel Peckham?
It's Colonel Peckham.
You know what?
Colonel Pecker.
That's the dirty version of this.
He's whisked away on a helicopter.
Okay.
The end.
So long, Peckham.
The end song. It's worth a mail.
What is it?
I loved it.
Is it a banjo?
It's called, no, it's not. Okay. It's called Heaven Help Us.
Okay.
And the words are like, Heaven Help Us. I feel so helpless. Why are people dying? I can't hear them crying.
Okay, yeah.
But it's like, yeah, they're so, you know, I mean, it's like uplifting.
Smiles.
Exactly. It's like upbeat and it's like,
But it's sad.
But the words are sad.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
I like that though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was creeped out.
Were you?
It does sound a lot like the remake.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
There's some key moments for me.
Okay.
In here. So when the hazmats are rounding up the citizens, one comes upon the sweet little old granny knitting in her rocker.
You.
I know. It's me. And she gets up and stabs him repeatedly with the knitting needles.
Wow.
And then sits back down and starts knitting again.
Totally you.
So totally cool.
So totally cool.
The preacher sets himself on fire and the special effects are hilarious.
Yikes.
My favorite is when the horde of crazies come running through this field and it's like total chaos.
Yeah.
And all you see is this woman leisurely sweeping the grass with her broom.
Why? Is she a zombie?
So it's she's crazy, but it's like indicating that there are different levels of crazy and it kind of, it's not just like completely insane.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like chaotic insane.
Got it.
There's like different levels. It affects everybody differently.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay. That's interesting.
And there's some great one-liners.
Okay.
Like that chick is out of her head.
That chick is out of her clank. Head. Clank. I'm going to say Clank said that.
Clank.
Total Clank. Classic Clank.
Exactly. Classic Clank. Up your big fat electronic ass.
Says hey, Dr. Watts. I do Watts. Like that one.
Yeah, right?
I do like that one.
I like that one. I want to stick it out with David. He's going to make it. He has a brain. Also Clank.
You know what? Again.
Clank.
Clank.
For I the think win.
Clank. Clank for the win. Is it safe to say that Clank was my favorite part of this film?
I think I don't know. I think he probably was, yeah. Which is interesting because we'll get to that in a minute. Okay. So here's a few fun facts.
Okay.
The film was actually filmed in Evans City.
Right.
And was referred to like throughout the film. So many of the film's bit players were locals. And many of the men in the hazmat suits were local high school students.
Oh, that's cool. Can you imagine?
Getting that
like,
gig.
That's me in the hazmat suit.
Yeah, exactly.
So cool.
George was like, hey, send everybody you can. Honestly. I need everybody.
Yeah.
A lot of the actors were from Pittsburgh. Obviously, Jeff Goldblum was busy and could not.
You know what? He was, yeah. Come on. He was preparing for Brundlefly a few years down the road.
The farmhouse was actually set to be torched as a training exercise for the local fire department. So serendipity, which worked out well for the film as they were given permission to set up and film the event.
Hey, there you go.
No Hollywood stuntmen were used in the making of the film.
Wow.
Local firemen and licensed firework professionals handled all of the action sequences, as well as the creation of the blood squibs.
Okay.
Like, does that fall into one scope of the job?
I will handle.
Oh, you want to be a fireman? Well, before I offer you this job,
I will handle fireworks.
Can you make a blood? Can you make a blood squib? It's part of the job.
Just those two things. You know what? Fair enough.
There you go. George Romero makes two cameos in the film.
Cute.
One is a local being herded into the high school,
uh-huh.
And the other is the head of the president of the United States on a monitor screen. He's just
okay,
ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah. The locals were pretty cool about the whole filming, except for the final scene when the character of Colonel Peckham has to strip down into his birthday suit.
They didn't want to see the peck.
They didn't want to see the pecker before being... Before being airlifted by helicopter, some of the locals locked their peepers on the naked man and were a little offended.
Locked the peepers on the pecker.
They had to call the lawyers in. Of course, we have right. that color of blood, the Romero red. I love
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And then, of course,
Romero red.
I like that.
You know what, TM?
TM that.
It's probably been done.
Romero red. Lynn Lowry, who played Kathy.
Uh-huh.
Oh. makes a cameo in the 2010 remake, which you said, which I absolutely love.
Yeah.
I love the cover art for that as well.
It's a good.
It's cool shit. Starring Timothy Oliphant.
We love him.
And as David. So he plays the David character. And then Joe Anderson plays Russell. There can only be one Clank. So he was renamed Russell. But you love Joe Anderson.
I love him. Because he was in Across the Universe.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think it helped bring awareness to the OG.
It did.
It really did.
I thought so.
Yeah. And I think it saw
I didn't
uptick.
Know it was a George Romero film until mm-hmm.
Until you watched the remake.
Mm-hmm.
So what is my lesson today?
I don't know.
You know, since we're doing sci-fi, which I don't usually do, there's not really a lot of magic. I think you covered some magic, but we're going to talk about biological weapons.
Oh my God. Okay.
As a trope in sci-fi.
I love that though. I like when you do sci-fi.
Do you?
I do. It switches it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause it's usually your thing.
Right.
So I'm going to put my lab coat on.
Okay. Yeah. Get it on.
Here we go. When you hear the name George Romero, zombies are what comes to mind.
Right.
Dare I say the godfather of the modern zombie genre.
I love that title for him.
Yes, yeah. I do too. But it could also be argued that Romero has earned the title as the trendsetter of pandemic films.
Really?
Yes.
Because of this.
Yeah. Yeah,
wow,
absolutely. Followed
huge.
By movies like Contagion, Outbreak, 28 Days Later, Resident Evil. I mean, it goes
so
on and on.
Big genre.
Yeah.
Genre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And on this meager budget, no less.
Right.
I mean, a shoestring. Right?
I was going to say, that is pretty impressive.
Exactly. So what I love about George Romero is he had a pulse on what was happening in the world.
Yeah.
He was politically and socially aware, and he had something to say about it.
He did.
And he did it through his horror films.
Mm-hmm.
So some can watch his films and feel like he's hitting you upside the head with a 2x4 telling you to like wake up.
Right.
But others view them as just a great horror film. And I think
They're
it
both.
Works exceptionally for uh-huh. no matter what you're watching the movie for.
Right.
So what was going on in the world at the time?
Okay, give it to me.
All right. The Vietnam War was coming to a close.
Ah.
Many felt the war was unjustified.
Right.
Code word Trixie was code for napalm and Agent Orange, which was used during the war.
Okay.
Yeah. So between the years of 66 and 73, mm-hmm. this was made in 73, the U.S. military dropped about 400,000 tons of napalm.
Yeah.
Which, if you don't know, is a weaponized mixture of chemicals mm-hmm. devised to create a highly flammable and gelatinous substance.
Ooh, you said
which,
gelatinous.
I know, okay. which caused severe burns or even death on the Ho Chi Minh Army.
Okay.
Agent Orange, mm-hmm. a chemical herbicide, which was used to eliminate the forest cover. So it was used for two reasons. One, to conceal, like, so you couldn't hide
okay.
in the brush. And the other, to destroy their food source.
That's nice.
Right?
Yeah.
So it was not only toxic just to plants, but also animals and humans, mm-hmm. Affecting the people over there and also the U.S. soldiers.
Right.
Is damaging and destroying to vital organs in the body, resulting in lifelong health battles such as cancer, skin diseases, birth defects, high rates of miscarriages.
My stomach goes on and on, doing flip-flops.
Exactly. Yeah. So coverage of these atrocities was seen by millions through the television airwaves.
Okay.
And the palpable distrust of the government and what they were cooking up behind the scenes made the perfect landscape for a good sci-fi story.
Got it.
And a great trope.
That's why I really like sci-fi horror specifically mm-hmm. because I feel like it's such a good vehicle for right. these yeah. political and social right. conversations.
Right. Yeah. Without beating you over the head with
right.
it.
Right.
Yeah. It's telling you our greatest enemy is too small to even be seen, right. but can wipe out an entire planet.
Yikes.
So usually made by the morally void institutions designed to protect you, which, you know,
right.
is kind of sucks. But
this kind of sucks.
History is no stranger to bioweaponry dating back to the 1300s.
Yeah.
When warriors would fling inflected. Inflected. An inflection. Infected black plague corpses over the walls of their enemies.
Okay.
And they would sell wine mixed with the blood of leprosy victims.
Oh my gosh.
Let's not forget on U.S. soil.
You know what, Laura, again with the warrant, can you warn me? Look, and warning. You wore pink today and you're looking all cute and pretty. And then you're like,
let me come in with this shit.
The Black Plague.
There you go. The Confederates sold clothing infected with smallpox and yellow fever to their enemies.
Yeah.
So add in all the technology advances encapsulated in the last few decades.
Right.
And a population rife with like conspiracy theories. Mm-hmm. Sounds like the making of a box office smash.
Right.
And also a creator of nightmares. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So George delivers a film with a frenzied pace from start to finish that I imagine resembles the inside of one's brain, contemplating every possible scenario outcome when faced with an attack.
Oh, that's interesting.
And you're not sure who is responsible or where it came from. So I'm sure like most of us can relate in the last few years, especially to like lying awake at night, unable to sleep, diving down every rabbit hole of the uncertainty of it all.
Yeah.
And I think he captured the chaos and panic perfectly.
Yeah.
That no one has immunity except Dave, obviously. And is the government on your side or are they the enemy? The age old question, right? Who can you trust? No one. Paranoia.
Right.
At it is playing like at on a zenith,
that very
right?
real fear.
Yeah, and yeah. like you said earlier, to me, this is the scariest type of horror film out there.
You know what? It's up there.
Yeah.
It's definitely up there for
like,
me.
Like humanity's inhumanity and power in the wrong hands is always a recipe for disaster.
Yikes.
Yikes.
And especially when it's playing off of real world events.
Yes.
Horrible, horrible
right.
events. Yeah.
Right.
It's just, it makes for a really spooky movie.
It's terrifying.
I could like feel the anxiety, even
yeah.
just in your plot description.
And he gets that across in this movie so well. Mm-hmm. It's just like so chaotic and just like, it's right. like I said, it's a nail biter.
It's a nail biter.
So on that upbeat note.
You know what? Thank you.
Go watch The Crazies or come see it this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, come watch yeah. it with us. That would be super yeah. cool. I can't wait.
Yeah.
I love George Romero's
I
films.
I do too.
I would highly suggest, you know what, have a little marathon.
Have a marathon.
Have a little like, George marathon.
Like I said, George Romero's like snuggling up with a cozy blanket.
You know what? I love that. I am thinking about putting it on a t-shirt.
Yay.
So look out for that. Go check out the George A. Romero Foundation.
Yes.
We'll link it. Go check out the Pittsburgh Moving Picture
Celebrate
Fest.
Celebrate independent filmmakers and my favorite, George Romero.
Yeah. Yes. Oh my gosh. You know what? I really really liked that.
Yeah.
I like exploring the tropes mm-hmm. and like how they got there yeah. and just, yeah, yeah, I liked that. Up top.
Yay.
Good spooky season episode.
I love it.
Hey, everyone, let's celebrate the closure of this cycle of Halloween Town. Everyone take a moment.
Woohoo. Mm-hmm.
Moment of silence. We'll catch you next year when Lore kicks off another Halloween Town cycle.
Oh no, I have 365.
You know what? You have some time to prepare. You have some time to recover. But I will make you watch Halloween Town at least 10 more times before Halloween is here.
Yikes.
Go check out our Patreon. Yes. Go rate us on Spotify and Apple. And we'll see you next week.
We'll catch you on the flippity flop.
Okay.
TTFN.
Godfriend, check the gate. Moving on.